Oh, praise God. It's the last day of Pesach. And so our portion this morning was from Shemot, Exodus 12, 43 to 51. From the Haftarah was the prophet Yeshayahu, Isaiah 12, 1 through to 6. And from the Messianic writings, you had the second letter of Rav Shaul to the Jewish community in Corinth. And that was chapter 3, verses 1 through to 6. Pesach is a time of moving. It's not a moment of static, it's not a moment of status quo. Pesach is a moment in time for all of us as Israel, as Hebrews if we were at the time, for Jews as we are today. Pesach always is an action, a verb, there's movement going on. And we might just think, no, it's about the Seder and we enjoy it and we have this and we have that and the various foods to remind ourselves of what the Lord did so many, many hundreds, thousands of years ago, really, when it comes down to it, ages and ages ago. But it's not only about that. It's not just the questions, why is this night different from all other nights? Why do we eat this? Why do we eat matzah? Why have we been eating matzah for the last week? You know, experiencing the changes in our bodies, yes? If you've been experiencing that the last week, matzah is such a wonderful thing in so many, many ways. But it's not just about those kind of changes. Pesach is about making structural changes in our lives. For our people, those thousands of years ago, it was a breaking away from that life of slavery, coming into freedom. Fundamentally, everything about us and in our lives is being changed. Every year we go around this cycle. Every year, again, it is Pesach. We come back to this point in time and again we experience the Lord's changes. Movement in each and every one of us. Transformation. We've seen that even in our own congregation, this community, this time, many of us experiencing that sense that the Lord was cutting off, releasing, setting free and taking us on. And yet, there is something about Pesach every year, there's something about this, about our walk with the Lord, that I want to go back with and connect with and just expand on a little bit today. There's a reading that we did not use over Pesach this year. It's a very specific reading. It's about the reading of the crossing of the Jordan as we entered the land. A parallel reading to the crossing of the Red Sea that we came out. And the question therefore becomes this. Why is it at Pesach? Why is it that we are placed before such huge apparent obstacles which seem to be so difficult to overcome? When we were standing there at the Red Sea, you know, we've been through this so many times. Our backs to the water, Pharaoh coming down towards us, apparently to the traditions, wild animals on either side of us. At a moment like that, utter despair was going to grip us. And again, as we go forward to the Jordan, we go forward those 40 years, we're about to enter the land. And you would think at that moment, would you not? At that time, the Lord is saying, yes, come on, we're going in. Let's just, you know, do something to the river. And everyone will put a bridge in for you and make it supernaturally easy because I want you to be in the land. And yet that day, just as we were at the Red Sea, then we were standing at the River Jordan, roaring before us. And the Lord's command was, I want you in the land. And again we experience this, not just at Pesach but through the year, but yes at Pesach, when the Lord wants us to do something, suddenly we discover there seem to be huge insurmountable obstacles before our path. Problems, issues, troubles, strife, you name it, everything seems to break out, and some of them so huge we are staring at them thinking, Lord, I do not even know how we're going to get through this. Why? Why does the Lord do this? And part of the answer begins to come. We were not set free from Egypt for nothing, were we? Why were we delivered from Egypt? Why were we set free? What is the point of salvation? Redemption, deliverance, what is the point of it? The scriptures say we were set free from Egypt, not just that we can party in the desert. We were set free so we could serve the Lord. It's not just about how we feel about it. It's not just about how nice we feel about it. And suddenly, if you begin to understand this, if being set free from one thing is a release to to actually praise and worship and serve Adonai, then somewhere in this process is this redemption, not just that we are free, but somehow something changes in us too. And how do we change? How do we change? I guarantee you, a nice little picnic in the Negev is not going to make you change. It's a beautiful thing. If you've done it, it's a wonderful thing. But that isn't going to make us change. We began to change when our backs were to the water and Pharaoh was bearing down upon us. We began to change when we faced the Jordan that day. Because deliverance and salvation are wonderful as they are, but they are the starting points. If you just stand where you are, if you're born again, you're saved, and you stay in that place, and you think, it's great, Lord, thank you, I'm saved. I want to be in this place right now for the rest of my life. And the Lord's going to say to you, no, get up, move. It's about moving on. You've got to go further. You can't stay at that place. Deliverance and salvation, redemption, all of these things are wonderful. You know, if someone is healed, if someone is delivered from demons or whatever the case may be, that is fantastic when it happens, but you don't stay there. You move on. Because you've been set free for a purpose. To move on means to change. All those things that you've taken for granted suddenly get thrown into the air. There is only one way, people, that we get to change, when the Lord begins to put some pressure on us and heat begins to come upon us. That's when I change. I know from my own experience. All of these things, these situations, use of the Lord to facilitate those changes that we need in our lives. Unexpected things suddenly begin to happen. Things you never thought would happen, happen. And you're placed into a new situation. You didn't predict it, you weren't expecting it, and suddenly, boom, there it is. Change. The Lord wants change in us. Every single time. 40 years of wandering. 40 years of learning that faith. 40 years of seeing some that we had left Egypt with fall by the wayside, who never made it to the land. And there we were, that one day, standing before the Jordan, with nothing other than a command and a word of God to move forward. We're told from the scriptures about this river. It was in full flood. There were no low-level crossings. The river itself, over 150 miles long, there were no bridges, there were no boats. All before us that day was just the water roaring, pouring before our eyes, torrents coming down, and the Lord saying, I want you to move. I want you to face the river. Face the river. Look at the river. And realize that although this is roaring before you and it seems insurmountable and impossible and crazy and mad to even begin to think that you were going to step out in this, crazy as it was, maddening as it seemed, God was saying, I am going to go with you. This river is not impossible. It is not impassable. Another mind-boggling challenge, and we stand there and we think, Lord, please, can we not just have one day when it's easy? But we have to face the rivers. We have to face the rivers. Moving on, being released, being set free, means you face those flooded rivers in our own lives, rushing seemingly out of control situations we simply cannot seem to manage. And if you've been there, you'll know what I mean. When everything is, the situation is so complicated and twisted, and everything about it is just so utterly, utterly challenging, you're exhausted even contemplating it, because there seems no way forward. There seems to be no answer to everything that is going on. And at that moment, you are facing that river and the turmoil and the rushing of it. And God says, go through it and live, because the land is the other side. But it seems impossible, doesn't it, at that moment? If only we can get to the other side. Lord, make it easy. Lord, just transport me. Pick me up like Elijah and put me down on the other side. The Lord says, no, I'm not going to do that. You are going to walk through. You have to walk through. Because somehow in all of this turmoil in our lives, Somehow we know, don't we? Instinctively we know. If God has said that we've got to get to this place or that place, then we know that whatever is there as an obstacle is not insurmountable. We know instinctively in our spirit at that point, there is life beyond what is before my eyes right now. Life awaits you the other side of that river. That river isn't the end. It never was the end. The Lord called us out to take us to this land. We didn't know that the Jordan was there in this way. We didn't know that day we'd be standing there. But the Lord knew. That day. Why not another day, Lord? Couldn't it have been done another day? Couldn't we have waited a week, Lord? You know, a week later when the glacial waters rushing down the Jordan would have eased a little bit and we could maybe at least just gone through up to knee height or maybe waist height. You know, we could have done that. Why today, Lord? Why when it's like this? Because you know what? Our lives are not our own. We face these events and these things in our lives. It is not our time. It's not our place of choosing. It's always the Lord's. And we have to understand this. There is no good time to go through anything like this. There's no good time to face any river that is rushing through our lives like this. But they are in the Lord's hand. And we can stand here and we can say, why me? We can stand there and cry, why now? I don't need this in my life, Lord. Why me? I've had too much already, Lord. I can't take any more. Why me? And we come to the conclusion as we stand before those rivers that those questions of why me, why now, what, why this, they have no ultimate validity. Ultimately, there is only one answer in our hearts at this point. The clay yields to the potter. He makes us into the vessels that he wants us to be. We have to go through this water. Because if there's only one thing we see again and again in the scriptures through the Torah as we're reading this, through the lives of those people who've been before us and gone before us, there's only one pattern we see. There is no easy, soft option in the kingdom of God. Because God is concerned about our change. He's concerned about making us more and more every day to be like Yeshua, his son. And there's only one way we get to be more and more like his son, living that life of sacrifice, changing in ourselves, that our egos, our selfishness, all of this stuff which goes, everything, yes, it's pain, yes, it's agony, but each step he takes us through it, we come through and out the other side into new life. New power, a new experience of the Lord. That we walk through it with him, don't we ever, ever try to get through something like this on our own, because we will drown. Life did await us on the other side. And you know, those circumstances, we can stand there and we can look at that river and we can be in prayer and say, Lord, change the river, change the river, change the river. And yet it's still a torrent and it seems unyielding and it does not bend to our prayer, because God is not listening to our prayers to change our circumstances. He's listening, will you yield and submit to the will of God, and will you walk through what he has put before you? Because only as you walk through it do you get to the land, the other side. And you know, when that river began to yield to us as we went through the River Jordan, someone had to have the courage. Someone had to have the faith. Someone had to stand there and go and put a foot into that river. As we started walking into that river, we read the Lord calmed it and dammed it. And so it stopped in the flow. And the reason being, as we walked through, we were not going on our own, just like with the Reed Sea. We were not on our own. What went before us that day as we walked through the river, the Aron of Adonai? The way through that turmoil, the way through that time that was seemingly so impossible, as we stood on the safe ground, the only way through we discovered was to walk through with the Lord. And to lay hold of him. And just as we discovered with the Red Sea, suddenly we were able to walk through this river too. It yielded to us as we stepped out in faith, but we had to have the courage to face it, and if need be, go through it, because the Lord would take us through. The moment we decide is when the Lord acts. And that turmoil can be going around us and around us and around us, but you know, the moment, that day when we wake up and we just think, Lord, I decide today, I have chosen, I am going to do what you say. And that's when it yields. You decide. If we can sometimes stand before these events in our lives and we can be saying to the Lord, no, move this, change it, make it another day, I'll wait for something else, something better will come, none of those things will cut it in the end. The only way we were going to move forward into the life of the Lord that he had for us in the land is if we actually that day chose and made a decision, we would step in faith ahead into what seemed to be there and see what the Lord would do. You know, we know this is true. Circumstances in our lives have to be faced or they will consume us. Reality. Because as long as you don't face up to them, as long as you're not staring that river down, the enemy will continue to push you, to consume you, to tell you that it's impossible, to tell you that there's no way forward. And day by day, you'll be eaten up by the lies of Hasatan. That is not the Lord's will. His will for us was not to stand on the dry land, the other side of the Jordan. His will for us was to get into the land. As it is for all of us, with what he has for us here in this building, the vision of this place, this community, as it's going to be. His desire is that we reach that for the life that is going to be in it. Not to just stand and think, I don't know how and if and what and everything else. We face these things that we have to get through to the other side. And what are the things that we have to face? Let me give you a quick list. How about confronting your own fears? How about dealing with your own pride? How about facing possible rejection and misunderstanding for taking a course of action that you just think is so mad that you could never contemplate it, but you know you've got to do it? How about consciously letting go of your control mechanism? Trusting God. Choose to trust. How about dealing with your bitterness, your resentment? How about facing up to the lies in your head about your inadequacy or low self-worth? How about facing the river that is screaming about your inability to love yourself as God loves you? Maybe for once surrendering your will to his. Maybe just bend the knee, embrace the challenge, embrace that scary feeling that you are not in control of your life anymore. That last one scares the life out of me. But it's true. These rivers that race through our lives must be breached at some point, or we do not reach the land. And there may be multiple rivers, multiple times of crossing in our lives, but we don't arrive until we stare in the face and we apply the truth of Adonai, the truth of the Word of God into each and every situation, and then we see that release and deliverance. Then we step out in faith, and then we find that this big beast that was staring us down is not a big beast after all, because our God is more powerful. We choose to walk in. We choose to find and see the deliverance of our God. This is what Pesach is as well. It's not just about our release, it's about our setting free to serve him, to arrive in that place. And encourage we step out. Encourage in stepping out in trust and in faith. We relinquish that control. Let Yeshua be Lord. Let him rule and reign. Amen. I've been in my kennel, Lord God. Father, we so much want to try and face these things down in our own strength. Lord, we are exhausted. Many of us are exhausted. But Lord, I just thank you for every conversation, for every prayer, for every hand on the shoulder, every act of solidarity, every act of support, every thought and word of kindness that shows us we're not alone, that you are here, that we never face these rivers on our own, Lord God, but you are with us. Oh Lord, my God, our God, I pray. Set us free. Set us free. Set us free, Lord God, that when we walk into that river, we only discover you. Only you and nothing else, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.